Maelor, momentarily leaving Syra hanging. Maelor shrugged, hands in his pockets, his demeanor cool and innocent.
I'm an old man, son. As you love to point out. You expect me to come out here and work by myself? Look where that got me today.
I scratched the back of my head and grinned. Fair enough. It's just surprising is all. I turned back to Syra and put out my hand, since she dropped hers. Pardon me, I didn't mean to give you the cold shoulder. You just caught me off guard. She smiled and took my hand. Her grip was warm and calloused, strong and confident.
It's fine, Griff. It's a pleasure to meet you again.
The way her eyes repeatedly lingered on me made that seem like the truth. Brayden and Layla butted in then, as they'd been standing back as the box trolls continued Layla's task of piling the bandits together. Layla smiled and whistled.
Well, that was all fun, wasn't it?
She said, her arms out to reference the melee we experienced.
I'm Layla Bethel, by the way. Summoner and Slumrat extraordinaire, at your service. Charmed, I'm sure, Syra said with a wry smile.
She and Layla shook hands. With a smile, I turned to stand by my friends. Maelor, these are my friends from the academy.
Layla, you've met.
And
Flint, Brayden Flint.
Brayden chimed, with more confidence than Layla and I were used to. He stepped forward and offered his hand to Maelor, who shook it vigorously.
My, my, you are big, son, he replied with a grizzled grin. You're like those two box trolls stacked atop one another, though not as ugly.
Brayden's cheeks flushed.
Thank you, sir,
he said with a shy chuckle. I couldn't help but laugh at the exchange. Finally, Maelor grumbled, clearing his throat.
We should probably deal with this lot, he said, indicating to the frozen bandits.
Yeah, I nodded. But before we get to that, what was that monster that you used, Syra? I asked. But it was Brayden who answered.
That was a petropede, a grade A monster. Very rare. They've only been seen outside of the Shadowscape a few times.
He trailed off as he noticed all of us staring at him, namely Leia and me.
What? I read books too.
I put my hands up in defense.
I said nothing.
It's just surprising given your dislike of monsters. I didn't mention his irrational phobia of them, for I didn't want to give Maelor or Syra a bad impression of my friend. Not that there was anything wrong with being afraid of them, but as summoners, it would be a tad odd.
Brayden shrugged. I need to learn, regardless of my dislike.
Syra chuckled at our exchange.
Well, you're right. That petropede was a gift from my mother. I don't use it much, though. It takes a lot of me just to control it properly, let alone to use its power.
She did seem tired, now that I gave her a better look. Her skin was dappled with sweat, and her breathing was slightly labored. It looked like simple fatigue, but mana depletion and physical fatigue looked nearly the same on the outside. Still, she kept on smiling. We got to work tying up as many of them as we could. Syra had a coil of rope in her supplies, stashed away near the hole in the rock. However, she only had enough to bind 6 of the bandits properly. The rest were free of restraints, but for now, they were unconscious. As we worked, my eyes kept finding the pile of bloody pulp that was the remains of the marksman that Layla had flattened with her Wallerdin. That was the right decision, but I worried that it might be weighing on her. She seemed fine, cheery even, but I'd need to remember to talk to her later. She might have been hiding her emotions behind a smile. I didn't have experience killing, but I couldn't imagine it was something that people just did without a second thought. I had to hope she was holding up all right. Once the bandits were incapacitated and tied up, we split up.
You two stay here and watch this lot while we go into town and gather the guard, said Maelor as he pointed to Brayden and Syra.
They didn't put up an argument, so the three of us hoofed it through the woods and back to town, so we could inform the local guard garrison of what happened. Maelor led us down a few streets to the guardhouse, a large brick structure with high windows and a pudgy man with a pistol on his belt standing out front.
Hey, summoner,
the guard said to Maelor, his voice a sloppy rumble.
What happened to you?
I pointed back the way we came.
Bandits attacked Maelor's work site. We used our magic to subdue the lot, but we needed help rounding them up.
The guard frowned and pushed off from the walls.
Bandits, you say? I wonder if it's the same ones who stole that massive cattle from Garen Hollow.
He stroked his bearded chin and pondered that question himself. Before long, he snapped out of that line of thought.
Anyway, I'll rouse the captain and the others and any volunteers we can muster.
Thank you, sir, I said. The guard nodded and turned to go inside the guardhouse, but he paused and gave us a concerned look.
You ought to get yourselves looked at by Mrs. Belwyn at the apothecary.
Minutes later, the rest of the guard streamed out of the building. There were only 5 men in the garrison, poorly equipped, with only a few pistols between them. But seeing as the bandits were temporarily knocked out, it hopefully wouldn't matter. The guards rounded up several more men in the town and rode off to the dig site to apprehend the bandits. The captain stayed behind briefly. He was a tall, stout man, with a bald head and a thick brown mustache. His uniform was pressed and pleated, clean as a whistle. A rifle was slung across his back.
I appreciate your help, he said profusely. We've been harassed by bandits for years now. This won't be the end of them, but it sure helps.
It's no problem at all, I told him.
Would you like a reward? I'm sure the town could pull together a collection for your troubles.
Maelor waved that off immediately.
We don't need a reward. We were only defending ourselves. Beating that bunch is our civic duty, after all.
He was a stubborn old man who didn't like praise.
Stubborn, yes, but I always appreciated how humble he could be.
The captain laughed.
I suppose so. Well, again, I thank you.
Then he mounted his horse and rode off to join the other guards. After that, Maelor led us to the town apothecary, who doubled as the town doctor. She was a nice older woman who smiled all day long, and she really smiled at Maelor. Her crush was obvious to me. She stitched him up expertly and wrapped my neck in gauze, which was beyond uncomfortable and itchy as hell, but it couldn't be helped. As we left the apothecaries, we found Syra and Brayden down the road, being escorted by a couple of guards. Syra waved excitedly as she saw us. I guessed that meant that everything was taken care of without incident. That done, we returned to the inn for a big meal, for we were all starving. And after that dangerous encounter with the bandits, we all needed a good drink, too. It was well past lunch now, as we were already in the late afternoon, but there was still that delicious meat smell when we returned to the inn. The innkeeper was pleased to see us back, and we crowded around one of the long tables that lined either side of the long hearth that sat in the center of the common room. It was very Wilder-styled, old-fashioned and cozy, not at all like enclave inns and taverns. As we sat, Maelor pulled out his satchel.
Sorry for putting you kids in harm's way. First round is on me.
I wasn't about to argue against a free round, but I didn't want him to feel guilty.
Nonsense. We chose to fight to save you. You didn't force us into anything.
Layla and Brayden both nodded and echoed their agreement. Maelor smiled at them both and chuckled.
You're good people. I appreciate the help.
Anytime, old man.
Layla quipped with a cheeky grin.
Hey, only I'm allowed to call him that,
I complained with a laugh. Syra snickered.
I thought he only let me call him that.
Maelor growled.
I don't want any of you young shits calling me that. You useless buckets of goblin piss.
We all laughed at that. When the innkeeper arrived with our drinks, I stood and proposed a toast.
To the old man. May no bandit have the misfortune of facing him on the fields of battle.
They all chuckled as they raised their glasses.
To the old man!
Maelor shook his head and grumbled, but he was smiling.
You're all such insolent little fucks, aren't you?
Then we all laughed, even Maelor. Once we were settled down, we ordered some food. The meat I'd smelled all day was freshly shot venison, and the mere thought of it made my mouth water in anticipation. We all ordered some of it, among other things. I had some amazing freshly baked bread and some vegetable chowder that was a bit too runny, but I didn't mind it. And when the venison arrived, maker, I was in heaven. It was perfectly cooked and seasoned. That was rare for the wilds. As we ate our meals, Maelor cleared his throat.
So, Griff, you never told me what it is you're doing all the way out here.
I frowned and took a bite of the bread after I dipped it in the chowder.
Ain't that obvious? I came to visit you.
He scratched his beard.
Aye, that's fair. But what about school? You know, shouldn't you be in it?
It's summer holiday, I shrugged. We have a fortnight off.
Ah, I see,
he said, and then took a long swig of his beer.
I never put much stock into those stupid enclaver holidays. Us hard-working folks don't get days off.
No, we do not, Syra added with a raise of her glass.
Hey,
Layla protested.
Regular people from the enclaves don't get days off either.
She chugged her drink and then kept on talking without bothering to wipe the beer dripping down her chin.
I'm from the slums, so trust me. We don't buy into much of the religious hogwash that the military and nobility try to preach.
Maelor grumbled with appreciation.
Good to see you're a kindred spirit.
Brayden put up his hands.
Hey, we're all humans, are we not? Enclaver or Wilder, we should all be united against the monsters. True, son,
Maelor said with a nod.
It's the policies of the Enclaves that I'm not always in favor with, but I appreciate those that fight for our safety. Like you three.
That made my friends and me flush with pride. A lull in the conversation followed as we took some sips of our drinks and ate our food. Once the quiet went on a tad too long, I deemed it time to break into talk again. So Syra, I began. Her eyes blinked as she took me in. Tell us about yourself. Where are you from? How did you come to be with Maelor? That might have been asking a lot, but she smiled anyway and didn't seem bothered by the prying questions. Hell, I've yet to see her frown at anything. She leaned forward on her elbows and twirled her finger around the rim of her glass.
I'll spare you my life story, but I grew up in Calgonquin Enclave, right on the sea.
We nodded. It was obvious by her darker coloring that she was from the West. Her mass of wild curly hair was another obvious trait of the Westerners. I wondered what it was like to live on the sea. I'd never seen that much water, but I bet it was a spectacular sight to behold.
We're pretty independent out there. Not very fond of the military, since the military in Calgonquin treats the common citizens like their servants, even though the citizens' taxes are the ones who are paying them.
She paused to collect herself, then continued.
I was the only one in my family with any magical ability. My parents sent me to the Calgonquin Academy so that I would have free room and board, and I'd be taken care of. I knew why they did it, and I don't blame them for it. They were only looking out for me. I did have a desire to help people, still do, but I don't want to be political and have to kiss the asses of Baekwans to get ahead.
Bacon?
Layla asked with a questioning smirk.
Baekwan,
Syra said as she emphasized the Quan.
Much of the ruling and upper class of the West are nobility from the North and East. They look down on us and, well, let's say their policies aren't the best. Baekwan is... It's not a kind word, to put it lightly.
Ah, I see, I said with my eyes on my drink. I knew that the Western kingdoms had been reluctant to form enclaves, even with the threat of monsters being ever-present. I'd never known that so many of our rich had flooded over there to rule over them. That was a sobering and troubling thought. Syra sighed.
Anyway, the night before the academy was to pick me up for my new life. I packed my things and left.
She drank her alcohol and sighed.
I've roamed the wilds ever since, taking odd jobs here and there. For almost a full year, I ran with a group of freelancers. We mostly solved crimes the local towns weren't equipped to handle, dealt with bounties and bandits and the like.
What happened to them? I asked with a sense that the story was about to turn grim.
I don't know, she said with a shrug. We eventually had a banisher sign on with us. Thomas, the leader of our company, wanted to start taking down rifts. I didn't want to be involved with that, so I quit. That was a month or so before I ran into the old man here north of Calaron.
Maelor chuckled.
Aye, I've been hired to help a local mining company excavate a new vein of iron, but the rock was particularly tough, and it was taking far too long for my drill moles to get through.
He was drenched in sweat and swearing up a storm while in an argument with the foreman when I strode along. I offered my help, and we've been a happily married couple ever since,
she said with a cheeky sarcasm. We snickered at that suggestion, and Maelor shook his head with a smile.
Such a joker.
I clapped a hand on his shoulder. I'm glad you found some help. I didn't mean to leave you to struggle by yourself, he scoffed.
Please, boy. I can handle myself. Besides, I'm happy for you to be at the academy. You're going to do great things. Going to change things for summoners. And for everyone.
Syra seemed to know exactly what he was talking about. Which, of course, she would, for Maelor must have talked up a storm about me.
"I'll drink to that!"
she exclaimed, and raised her glass high with a smile. Indeed, we could all drink to that. And drink we did.
Chapter 18. A few hours and many drinks later, it was time for some of us to retire for the evening. Maelor was passed out at the table, his tolerance not as great as it used to be. I had already helped Brayden up to our room, a chore, since he was heavy and only barely helped me with his legs. I practically had to drag him up the stairs, and he was out almost as soon as he hit the bed. Now it was Layla's turn. I carried her in my arms upstairs. She was light, so it wasn't as hard to carry her, but my body was warm with alcohol, so it was harder than it should have been. It also didn't help that she was pretty tipsy and kicked her legs as she sang a song in my arms.
"I appreciate the ride," she cooed with warm breath into my ear. "But I'd appreciate a different ride."
She grinned wide as I came to her room and nudged the door open with my foot. "Oh?" I said as I laid her onto her bed.
"Yep,"
Layla giggled hysterically. Her cheeks were flushed from the alcohol.
"Griff, let's have some fun."
She began to take off her clothes and grabbed a fistful of my shirt at the same time. She failed spectacularly, which in her state, she was struggling with. Once her legs were free and bare, I tried to throw the covers onto her, but she protested with a pouty groan.
"Come on, Griffy! Join me!"
She patted the spot beside her on the bed.
"If you do, I won't mind if you go hit on that pretty summoner downstairs."
She gave me a wink. I rolled my eyes. "You're drunk."
"Please. I've been much worse. I could take our term exams right now if I wished."
Her amusement melted into a serious stare. She snorted.
"And I'm serious about Syra, by the way. I've seen how you two look at each other. Trust me, if I had it my way, well, the three of us..."
"Are you being serious?" I raised an eyebrow at her.
"Of course."
She clicked her tongue.
"I'm all about enjoying the finer things in life, and right now, that's you."
I laughed at that, my side stitching from the mirth of it. A few tears glistened in my eyes. That was the type of humor I loved from Layla. I tried to calm myself before answering as I gulped down a deep breath. "Fair enough, then," I said with a smile. Her lips curled up.
"Good."
She sat up on her knees, grabbed me by my neck, and pulled me to her roughly. Then her lips smashed against mine. As our tongues danced intimately, she worked at the buttons of my shirt. She must not have been as drunk as I had first thought, because her nimble fingers undid the buttons free faster than I expected. She shrugged off my shirt. Layla broke off our kiss and let her eyes travel over the length of my body. Her hands glided over my torso, feeling my muscles, probing at my chest and abs, her eyes hungry with desire. Her fingers were gentle when they glided over the raised red flesh along my right side, arm and shoulder, where I'd been burned in the monster attack as a child. She smiled wide and upended me as she grabbed my leg and flipped me onto my back. Then she greedily yanked off my socks and trousers, before ravenously pulling down my underpants. Her eyes grew wide with glee as she took me in fully.
"It's been a while since we've done this,"
she said with a sigh, hands on her hips. I laughed. "It's been about a week." Layla shrugged.
"Yeah, like I said, it's been a while."
We both giggled at that while I helped Layla out of her underwear. I took my time and allowed my hands to probe her slender frame, to run the length of her smooth golden skin. I planted kisses all along her stomach, her breasts, and her thighs. She inched her head up and planted a long, tender kiss to my lips, her eyes holding my gaze seductively. Then she plopped onto my stomach and shook her ass at me. Her smile was as mischievous as I've ever seen it.
"Come on, Griff. Fuck me."
"Oh, I intend to, Layla." And so I did. I gripped Layla around her hips and thrust my cock inside of her. And then we went at it. So far, our stay in Tollington was turning into a very memorable one. I certainly wasn't going to forget my stay anytime soon. The alcohol must have finally gotten to Layla, for she passed out with a smile on her face only a few minutes after we finished. She snored lightly, something she didn't usually do, but for the moment, it was adorable. I pulled the covers over her and kissed her forehead. Then I pulled my clothes back on. I smiled as I left the room and closed the door before I entered my own room to check on Brayden. He was passed out on the floor of our room, certainly not where I'd left him, and he snored loudly and smiled in his sleep. I tried to help him to get back to his meager little bed, but even if I wasn't slightly drunk, I didn't have the strength to lift his bulk. He didn't budge from my prodding. He was dead weight. Too heavy. So that was that. With nothing else to do about it, I left him laying there and returned to the common room. Maelor was also passed out at our table. Glasses of beer all around. Syra sat across from him and kicked her legs back and forth while she nursed a pint of mead. When she heard my footsteps, she turned her gaze to me and waved. Something she did a lot, I noticed. I sat next to Maelor and grabbed the half-drunk pint in front of him. As I took a sip, I looked at Syra, who looked back at me while she chugged her drink. We both finished at the same time, burped, and broke down into fits of laughter.
"He thinks the world of you, you know,"
she told me as a warm smile played across her lips. I looked at Maelor snoring from next to me, and a wistful smile played across my features. "Yeah, I know.
Not a day goes by that he doesn't talk about you fondly."
"I'm sure he also tells both embarrassing stories and makes fun of me, too," I scoffed.
"Oh, yes. Yes, he does."
She nodded vigorously before she let out a chuckle.
"But it's obvious that he loves you."
I knew Maelor loved me. Neither of us was particularly great at articulating those words or showing it, but I knew, and he knew. Still, hearing her say that so plainly, it made my chest lurch. It made me realize how much I missed and appreciated the simple life I've led with Maelor. The helping people, the wilds, the traveling, I loved it all, but it didn't compare to my new life too, and the people in it. I wouldn't change a single thing. One day maybe I would settle down and go back to Maelor in my old life, but I had goals to accomplish first. Even then, a piece of me would miss the academy and the thrill of summoning in combat. Nothing quite compared to that. "I appreciate your kindness," I said with a smile. "I'm glad Maelor was able to find a helper as reliable as you." Her face glowed with pride.
"Thanks. I enjoy working with him."
We sat there for a while and enjoyed the ambience. There were only a few patrons still up, a couple of men drinking at another table. The bard still played his lute, bathing the air in a sweet melody. We ordered 3 shots of moonshine each, which we downed immediately. The warm burn of the alcohol tingled my throat and spread through my limbs, making me smile. Finally, Syra sighed and perked up with an excited gleam in her eyes. She stood and came to be next to me.
"Hey, I want to show you something," she urged me.
I raised a brow. "What is it?"
"You'll have to follow me and see," she replied coyly.
"All right."
"Fine,"
I snickered and shook my head. "Lead the way." She didn't need to be told twice. She strode out of the inn without so much as another word, so I followed her. She waited outside with a mischievous grin and beckoned me on. As I tried to keep up, Syra skipped ahead of me before she veered around the back of the inn to the woods beyond. There was a faint trail cut into the woods, so minuscule that you could easily miss it. She waved for me to follow as she started up the trail. The bushes and branches around it had been hastily cut and obviously hadn't been attended to in a long time, as some of the foliage had grown back and made the trail even more obscured.
"Come on, Griff,"
Syra giggled and pulled me along when my stride slowed. I laughed too, the alcohol making me giddy. I stumbled after her, my footing not exactly sure, but I kept up. We pushed through the overgrown brush of this trail, the thorns and sticks grabbing at my trousers and arms, but nothing cut me. If it did, my dulled senses just ignored it. After a minute of jogging, giggling the whole way, we arrived at a shallow pond in the middle of the forest. I came to a halt before it and stared. It was serene and completely still, a mirror that reflected the majesty of the heavens. The unfettered stars of the wilderness sparkled in the clear sky, and the nearly full moon shone over the glossy surface in a brilliant blue light. It was an image I wanted to savor, a scene an artist would have killed to paint. It sobered me. It was a beautiful sight, and so was Syra. She padded toward the water, and without saying a word, began to undress. She undid the drawstring of her trousers, and then shimmied out of them, nearly tumbling backward into the water with the effort. That made her laugh. Once she shed her shirt, she waded into the pond, interrupting the magical stillness of it. That would have upset me if not for the beautiful naked woman right in front of me. She sighed as she sunk neck deep into the water.
"This feels amazing," she called. "Join me!"
Oh, I intended to. I tore off my clothes with quickness and bounded into the water after her. The water was cool in the summer humidity. The perfect temperature. It soothed my skin and made me want to melt into it. Syra was right. It was amazing. We floated beside each other, our heads nearly touching. I took a deep breath of the cool night air and exhaled. Bliss.
"Hey, Griff,"
she asked, her voice light. "Yeah?
Would you like a surprise?"
Her tone became low and alluring, and I could almost picture the grin I was sure she had. I smiled. I love surprises. She chuckled, a sound that I found enchanting.
"Good. Now close your eyes and don't peek."
I was pretty sure I knew what the surprise was, but I wasn't about to spoil it. I closed my eyes. She shifted in the water behind me, the water gently lapping in her wake. I could feel the press of her breasts against me. I felt her body relax as she leaned down, and then her luscious lips are on mine, enveloping me in their warmth. It was a small kiss at first, but then her tongue implores my lips to open, and I allow it to explore my mouth as I explored hers. This was certainly a welcome surprise. She pressed her hands to my cheeks, steadying me in the water as her kisses grew hungrier. She moaned through our kiss, the sensation vibrating through my body, and sent a tingle down my spine. Suddenly she pulled back and pressed her breast to my face, and I leaned my head back in the water so I could suck on her nipples. After a few moments, I quit laying on my back and stood in the water to face her. She was a gorgeous sight. Her eyes glowed in the moonlight, and her wet mahogany skin shimmered in the near darkness. She was like a moon goddess, wild and magnificent. That might have been blasphemy if I'd been around a priest of the one true maker, but I wasn't particularly one for any kind of stuffy religion. "Wow," I said, breathless. "You are beautiful." The relative darkness didn't give it away, but I could tell from the way her eyes fluttered that she was probably blushing.
"Thanks. You too are handsome."
Her smile was nearly as bright as the moon. She waded out to me and placed a tender kiss on my lips, then traveled down my jaw to my neck, then my collarbone, her slender fingers down my chest and stomach. They continued down and down into the water until she gripped me. She let out a gasp.
"Oh my, I'm impressed,"
she breathed excitedly. I snickered. "I'm glad you think so." She stroked my cock and leaned into me, her breasts pressed against my chest. She inched her head up so that she could whisper into my ear. She bit my earlobe playfully.
"Fuck me, Griff."
Her words tickled and sent a shiver throughout my entire body. "You don't have to ask me twice," I replied. At that, she gave me a wicked grin and pushed me into the water. When we were both submerged, we became a tangle of limbs as we shared our breath, and then I was inside of her, which felt even more amazing underwater. Thus, for the first time in my life, I had sex underwater.
I couldn't think of a better way
to enjoy the summer holidays. Chapter 19. My friends and I stayed in Tollington for the next 6 days and nights. We roamed the surrounding forests and countryside, fished in the nearby creek, and just had a good time. Our nights were spent at the inn, eating good food and drinking heavily. We shared stories and told jokes. Maelor enjoyed telling embarrassing stories about me to Layla, Brayden, and Syra, who loved every second of them. I didn't mind, though. As long as my friends were happy and smiling, it wouldn't bother me in the least. Some days we helped Syra and Maelor with their work, since they weren't on holiday like us. I would have thought that my friends would have been against doing work during their vacation, especially Layla, but they were both eager to assist. It helped that they positively adored Maelor and his attitude and stories. I understood completely, since I'd lived with him for 15 years. Maelor and Syra also offered to pay us a share of the wages, so that was as good of an incentive as any. On our second to last day in Tollington, we were back at the dig site where we found the bandits. The operation had grown considerably. More trees had been cleared, and Maelor and Syra were deep inside the mine to excavate more tunnels with their team of drill moles. Brayden and Layla were on the perimeter of the area, with axe goblins to chop down trees. Their box trolls brought the felled trees to me, where a team of laborers trimmed and cut the limbs of the trees off so that they could be used to build. I then had a cement troll mortar the logs together until they started to resemble lodgings for the workers. I also built a couple of bunkhouses for late-night work, dug some latrines in a matter of seconds with a drill mole, and put together a sort of office for the foreman, Maelor, and other higher-ups to discuss things. As the laborers worked on the roofs of the buildings I'd made, I leaned back against a pile of lumber and took a sip of water from my canteen, while I watched all the work unfold around me. Box trolls and men alike pushed carts full of ore out of the mine. It took two men to push one of the carts full of iron, whereas the box trolls only had to use one hand. The clamor of pickaxes on the rock rang out from within the mine, as well as the ping of hammers nailing down the metal tracks that would allow the carts to be easily pushed up to the surface. Monsters helped with some of the work, but we could only do so much. It wasn't a good idea to spread out monsters with different tasks over such a wide area. Besides, this was as efficient of a job site I'd ever been on. As I took a break, Layla came jogging down the now tree-cleared rise toward me, a smile on her face. Brayden was still atop with a few workers and his axe goblins as they cut down more trees.
"Hey, Griffey,"
she said as she wiped at the sweat that pebbled along her brow. "Hey," I replied with a wave. She came and leaned beside me. I offered her my canteen, and she took it without hesitation and drank eagerly. "You're enjoying the work?" I asked, an eyebrow arched. Her smile didn't waver.
"I didn't think I would. But honestly, it's not so bad. This is about what I'd expected when I decided to become a summoner."
"Is that good or bad?" I asked and folded my arms. She shrugged.
"It's good. Though now I'll admit I ain't as turned off by the idea of fighting as I used to be."
I grinned. That was good to hear. It had taken some work, but I was glad to see that Layla was growing out of her reluctance to fight, and I guessed that the battle with the gang members who killed her brother had helped a bunch. When she was finished with the water, she passed the canteen back to me, and I took a few more sips. "You know," I began after a sigh, "I never asked, but what other magic could you do? You made it clear that you chose to be a summoner, so I assume you weren't discovered as one."
"True, I wasn't."
She sighed and looked at her feet.
"I got jumped one day walking home from the market near my home by a bunch of goons that Logan owed money to. He was already in jail, so I guess they thought they'd get money from me. Course, I was a skinny little thing then. I knew how to fight well enough, but these were big men."
I snickered. "You're still a skinny little thing, but at least you're much better at fighting."
"Well, it was 5-1, so the odds weren't good. Plus, I'm a healthy skinny now. I was near malnourished back then."
She trailed off and stared ahead, as difficult emotion swirled behind her gaze.
"They beat me good for a while. They nearly knocked me out. But then, I guess my magic kicked in. My arms bulged to the size of my thigh, thick and meaty with muscle. It hurt worse than anything that has ever happened to me. But I beat them back."
I whistled. "So you were an augmenter?"
"Yeah,"
she nodded.
"Not compatible with my body, though. That magic almost killed me."
She paused a moment as if considering her words before she continued.
"A couple of guardsmen on patrol had come to see the commotion and saw what I did. They arrested the goons and sent me to the military headquarters on the other side of town, where they evaluated my potential. While I did have augmented powers, they were pretty weak, which is why they'd never shown up before. However, when I was tested for summoning, I got really high marks. And since I knew summoners didn't fight and augmenters did, I decided to do what I was better at.
That's lucky, I said with a nod. She snorted.
Maybe it was divine intervention.
Maybe, I chuckled. But I'm sure glad you became one. Otherwise, we likely wouldn't be friends. She smiled wide, her face glowing as her cheeks flushed.
Me too.
Her hand slipped into mine. Our fingers laced together as she offered me a comforting squeeze. I couldn't imagine how my life would be if she weren't in it. Maybe it was divine intervention after all. The rest of the day was filled with sweat, struggle, and hard work. But it was refreshing, as our bodies were used to the exertion from all the training we'd done at the academy. By the time the sun was setting, Maelor and Syra emerged from the mines with a crowd of other laborers, all covered in dirt and grime. Maelor looked like he was about ready to pass out, but he managed to get back to town all right. After a round of much-needed baths for each of us, we celebrated our last night in Tollington with a feast. Well, a feast by the town standards. We ordered a whole roast turkey, as well as a round of veggie pot pies and mashed potatoes. I'd only had a small ham sandwich for lunch, so my stomach grumbled impatiently at the sight of the spread in front of me. We had round after round of cider. In the middle of our meal, Maelor stood from his seat next to me and raised his cup.
You're the best bunch of summoners I have ever laid eyes on. You do the good work even if you don't get all the accolades you should. I know you'll change all that one of these days, so keep it up.
He raised his cup high.
Cheers! Cheers! Cheers!
The rest of the night devolved into revelry with hours of singing along to the bard songs with the other patrons, dancing too, and some drinking games to boot. We tried to play some poker later on in the night, but that failed miserably, since we were far too drunk. At least I was. Syra, make her bless her, had the heart not to rob me blind in a round of cards. My friends and I crowded into Syra's room after I helped Maelor drunkenly stagger to his room. We traded stories all through the night, as we did most of the nights, but we kept coming up with new ones to tell. Syra fit in so well with my friends and me that I wished desperately that she could come back to the academy with us, but that wasn't to be, unfortunately. When I woke up briefly in the early morning, I was crowded in Syra's bed, with her and Layla on either one of my arms. Both were naked, snuggled up against me, and completely comfortable. That was a great way to sleep. Before I went back to sleep, I kissed Layla and Syra on their foreheads. Syra's lips twitched into a smile as if she could sense my tenderness. I smiled back. I was lucky to have those two. Then I faded back into a deep sleep. The next morning came, and sadly, it was time to go. I packed my things into my horse's saddle, and then secured the straps of my backpack. Brayden and Layla did the same reluctantly. I understood. I didn't want to leave either. This had been a fun and eventful week, a much-needed reprieve from the stress of school, not to mention all the recent family drama they'd had to endure. This was a pleasant vacation for all of us, but duty called.
"It was a damn pleasure meeting you,"
Maelor exclaimed, and opened his arms for Layla and Brayden. She chuckled as they both stepped into his embrace.
"You too, sir,"
Layla replied.
"Likewise,"
Brayden added with a smile. Maelor wrapped his arms around their shoulders and pulled them close, so that their heads were touching.
"I need you two to keep an eye on that little shit. You hear me? Keep him out of trouble. We'll do our best," Brayden said with a laugh.
"No promises, though,"
Layla added, and the trio laughed amongst themselves, as I looked on them with my arms crossed. I shook my head with a smirk. As they talked some more, Syra came up next to me and put a hand on my shoulder. She offered me a warm smile, and I smiled right back at her. I would miss her dearly.
"This was fun," she said to me with a wink.
I winked back, my grin wide.
"Oh, it definitely was."
Syra pulled me to her and wrapped me in a warm hug. Her wild explosion of hair tickled my cheeks. She leaned her head up and whispered into my ear, her breath warm against my ear and jaw.
"You better come to visit again soon. It would be a shame if I never got to see you again."
Her voice was low and seductive.
"Don't worry. You'll see me around."
I pulled back, my hands on her shoulders. "I shall be awaiting our future moonlight swims." She chuckled.
"Good."
My smile faded ever so slightly as I held her firm with my gaze. "You look after him, okay?" I'll sleep better knowing he has help and companionship as reliable as you.
I love that old goat, Cyrus snorted as she looked back at Maelor and my friends. You can count on me. I'll keep him in line.
I laughed, glad to hear it. I hugged her again as we both smiled and laughed like idiots. If you two ever find yourself in or around Varley, you should visit.
We certainly will, she replied enthusiastically. And you better write me like you do him. I like communication.
Deal. As we finished with our goodbye, Layla, Brayden, and Maelor finished up with their farewell too. My friends bid their goodbyes to Syra as they exchanged hugs, handshakes, and kind words. As they did so, I sauntered over to Maelor and stood by his side. He smiled and sighed.
Before you go, he began,
figured I'd ask if you had any luck with that sun giant I gave you yet.
I frowned a bit, chagrined. I still haven't quite managed that one yet. I've still found that I work best with making the smaller summons work together as groups than summoning anything so huge. Maelor laughed good-naturedly as he hooked his thumbs in his belt.
So much for that fancy academy, eh? Bet you're teaching more of the classes than those stuck-up enclavers, boy.
On that, you're absolutely right. He nodded and smiled.
That's my boy. And as for the giant, you'll get it yet. I have faith in you, even if you're still a little shit.
Thanks, old man, I said with a laugh. I'll do everything I can to make you proud.
I'm not the only one you've got to do that for.
He glanced back at Layla and Brayden.
You have some good friends there that are counting on you too, he said.
Yeah, I replied. I know.
You keep them close, you hear? True friends like them are a rare breed and a luxury. You'd better cherish them.
My eyes took in my friends as they chatted with Syra. The Western Summoner said something funny, which provoked a boisterous laugh out of my friends. Once that died down, Brayden lifted Layla by her waist and placed her on her horse. Then he mounted his own steed. All the while, they kept talking with Syra. Maelor was absolutely right. I was a lucky man to have them as my friends, and I sure as hell wasn't going to take them for granted. I will, I said simply.
I know you will, Griff.
Maelor turned to me and wrapped me in as fierce a hug as he'd ever given me. His old arms were still strong, so he was able to squeeze me harder than I expected.
Thank you for spending your holiday with me.
I would never miss a chance to see you, you old geezer. I tried to keep my voice steady and not betray the emotion that quivered beneath the surface. I didn't need to cry every time I said goodbye to the old man. We hugged for a long time and knew that it would be some months before we saw each other again. Finally, I pulled away from Maelor and blinked at him. His eyes glistened with tears. Damn it. That threatened to get me started, too.
I'm proud of you, Griff.
Maelor's eyes shone with pride.
Just keep on changing things for summoners. Keep showing the world what we can do.
My heart thumped heavily in my chest as my being swelled with emotion. His encouraging and sincere words meant everything to me as a tear ran down my cheek.
I will, I promise, I told him, my voice shaky.
His smile was as warm as his hug.
I know you will, son.
I mounted up my horse and reined her in alongside my friends. We pointed our horses' noses down the road out of town. Syra stood next to Maelor, the both of them smiling at us. They waved us on our way.
Safe travels, you three, Maelor called.
We waved back to them.
Thank you,
I replied.
Farewell,
Layla and Brayden echoed my call. And then we were on the road, our summer holiday at an end. But it was possibly the most enjoyable time of my life. Though it was bittersweet to say goodbye to them, I knew we would see them again. I didn't know when that would be, but I would be looking forward to that time. For now, though, it was time to get back to school.
Chapter 20
We made good time after leaving Tollington. We rode hard throughout the day, our mounts rested and eager. We passed the Tipsy Wizard at mid-afternoon, so we kept on going into the evening, and were between towns when the sun set. So camping in the woods was our only option for the night. I didn't mind that much, though. As someone who grew up in the wilds, I was used to it. The next morning started off fast, too.
We woke at dawn and tore across the countryside at a decent clip. I began to think we could perhaps shave half a day off our journey and make it back to the academy tomorrow morning. We were between towns on the road, through the middle of a dense and somewhat hilly forest. Pine trees lined the road. Occasionally, we rode over streams and small rivers and through rocky clearings. Now, we were back amongst the trees, and they encroached on the road with their limbs reaching out to grab us. It was a beautiful day, though. Cloudless and sunny.
Man, we're making really good time,
Layla said as she gave me a sidelong glance.
At this rate, we'll only have one more night out here in the wilds.
Her words cut off as a blood-curdling scream tore through the forest. The scream was relatively close, maybe a quarter of a mile at the farthest, if I was any good judge of distance.
That's not good,
Layla commented. No. No, it isn't, I admitted, as I scanned the road.
What should we do?
Braden asked, his grip tight on the reins of his steed. I understood his nervousness. It was hard to know what was on the other end of those screams. Obviously someone in need of help, but from what? A bear or a pack of wolves? That was easy to deal with. A gang of bandits? More troublesome. Worst, a random rift? That was a severe problem that we might not be able to resolve on our own. I simply couldn't ignore a cry for help, though, so I reined in my horse and pointed her in the direction of the screams. We need to check it out. I spurred my horse onward. Come on, Cass. Cass took off at a gallop as we tore through the forest toward the screams. I wanted to be stealthy, but I didn't think the victim had time for that more careful approach. The trees didn't help matters, as closely clustered as they were. It was hard to maneuver and for Cass to keep up her speed. It was all I could do to dodge all the stray branches that clawed at my face. The screams didn't seem to get any closer. But eventually, they stopped altogether. That wasn't a good sign at all.
We need to hurry,
I called to my friends. With no objections from my friends, we thundered on through the forest, but there were no more screams to follow. It was impossible to know if we were going in the right directions anymore. So I pulled up Cass's reins and came to a halt. Layla and Braden did the same, behind me.
What now?
Braden asked. I sighed. I don't know. The forest is huge, so it would take us forever to search it for the source of the scream, and by then it'll be too late. Layla's face scrunched up in a tight frown.
It sounds like it's already too late.
Yeah, thank you for that cheery reminder, Layla, I said with a sigh. She shrugged.
I'm just trying to be the voice of reason.
I know. I slumped my shoulders. I just need to... wait. A jolt went through my spine and set my neck hairs on end. I felt like we were being watched, and that's when I smelled it. The acrid stench of a rift. That wet decay odor was burned into my brain. I would always recognize it. So the moment it entered my nose, I knew we were in deep trouble.
Grift!
Layla squealed as she pointed ahead of me. I only had a second to see the small impish monster with green-gray skin that sat perched on the trunk of the tree in front of me before it pounced. I dove off Cass right as it jumped at me and slammed into the dirt. The monster rested only for a moment on Cass's backside before lunging for me again. I rolled to my side and narrowly dodged it, then came up in a crouch. I had no time to summon my own monsters, so I unsheathed the dagger at my hip and shot forward to stab it with my blade. My knife plunged into the monster's sternum. Its sharp arms flailed on either side of it before falling limply at its side as the life drained from it. Swords and daggers can be pretty effective against smaller monsters if you hit them in the right spot, and as someone well experienced with dealing with monsters, I knew exactly where to hit it. Its weight slumped against me as I pushed it off of me, while my heart pounded out a desperate tune in my chest, and my lungs craved air. That had been much too close.
Griff! Griff! Are you all right?
Layla asked, the concern obvious in her voice as both she and Braden hopped off their horses. I'm fine. It wasn't entirely true. While I was okay health-wise, there was a portal to the Shadowscape open, and we were not banishers. That was a very serious problem, that we didn't have a solution for. I looked down at the monster. It was beginning to break down into usable loot, but I recognized it immediately. A Chatteroshi. They were impish little creatures, humanoid in shape, about as tall as my stomach. They had wiry builds, long bony limbs that seemed much too long for their small torsos. Their skin could range from all manner of colors, browns, greens, blues, dark reds, and yellows. They weren't strong, but the danger came from their arms, which ended in sharp appendages like an axe goblin, with mantis-like scythes that could retract into their arms. Their feet ended in a single blade-like toe, the size of a dagger. Also like goblins, one was easy to deal with, but Chatteroshi always swarmed. I turned my gaze to the forest around us and caught sight of dozens of them as they climbed amongst the trees, and the chittering of their voices drowned out the normal sounds of the forest in their den. Bark flew about as their sharp limbs scampered about the trees, and bits rained down as the monsters flayed the trees.
Fuck!
I yelled. We didn't have time to flee, and we couldn't, for Layla and Brayden's horses whinnied in a panic and bolted. Well, there goes our deposit, I muttered. That made me feel bad, even though I knew Cass couldn't understand. Sorry, girl. I skirted around her head to my saddle where I kept a sword. I unsheathed it and held it at the ready. I still had my monsters, but Chatteroshi were fast and numerous. I'd have to defend myself. My friends, however, did not have the luxury of a weapon. I slapped Cass's backside and sent her running after the other horses. I didn't need her getting in the way. The Chatteroshi were a buzzing swarm milling above us, constantly moving like a chaotic army of ants. We didn't have much time before they pounced en masse. "Do you still have your essence crystals?" I asked my friends, hoping desperately that they hadn't left them all in their saddlebags, which wasn't smart to begin with, since horses could get spooked by the monstrous energy the crystals give off.
"I do," Brayden replied as he opened his coat to reveal his essence crystals.
"I have what I brought with me for the trip," Layla added. "Didn't bring too many, though."
"Hopefully, that will be enough." I swallowed hard as I looked around. More and more Chatteroshi seemed to appear from the tangle of tree limbs above. I had to push down the panic. Our monsters wouldn't have a lot of room to operate, but we had no choice. We had to fight. With my sword in my right hand, I gripped a few crystals in the other. Brayden gripped his own, three in each hand, and Layla had two. As the Chatteroshi closed in, their annoying noises grating at my brain, Layla lit up.
"Griff, could we make ourselves metal with your bullet bass? That way their attack wouldn't hurt us."
"Yeah," I confirmed with a confident smile. It was a brilliant idea, exactly the type of creativity Rory and I had been trying to instill into my friends. The ability to think on their feet and use the situation and environment to their advantage, and to know their enemy's weaknesses, know their own weaknesses, and how to overcome them. Truthfully, being metal wouldn't make us safe for long. If the bullet bass itself were killed, we'd lose our metal skin, and even if the bass remained, there was only so long it could maintain its metal coating power, especially on the three of us. But maybe it could give us the wiggle room we needed. I summoned a bullet bass and had it cover us in metal, just before the Chatteroshi decided to attack. They swarmed us, a storm of bladed limbs and chittering teeth. Their gnomish heads had beady little eyes the size of marbles, but their mouths were huge, wide and circular, nearly the size of their heads, and they had rows and rows of tiny razor-sharp teeth. Thankfully, the metal coating worked. The Chatteroshi's blades danced off my skin harmlessly. My sword, not so much for them. I hacked and slashed in wide arcs, not bothering to be subtle or skilled. My sword took out two at a time, but more kept coming. Layla summoned her hippocrans and was riding on its back as it rampaged through the massive bodies. But that strategy didn't last long, as the sheer number of Chatteroshi swiftly overcame it. It didn't help that hippocrans weren't known for their ability to turn on a dime. Layla stumbled forward off it as it died, but Brayden was there to catch her. We weren't making any progress. Brayden carried Layla over to me,
her protesting the whole way. I summoned a ring of Wallardens around us, which would buy us some time, but not much. Brayden's face was alight.
"I have a plan," he proclaimed.
The swarm gnashed and slashed all around us. One jumped into our cocoon of Wallardens, but I swiftly buried my sword in its heart.
"Okay, spill it. These metal skins are fireproof, correct?"
"Correct." He dug into his satchel and pulled out a large round essence crystal, fiery and red, so fine and shiny that it almost looked like a ruby. I knew instinctively that something powerful sat inside of it. He smiled and held up the crystal.
"This is an Ember Eagle."
I nearly gasped.
"You have an Ember Eagle?"
Ember Eagles were grade B monsters, incredibly dangerous and powerful. As their names would imply, they looked like massive eagles shrouded in flames. Brayden wore a cocky smile that was unlike him, but I appreciate his budding confidence.
"I'm very wealthy, remember? I bought this from a trader who came to our family manor right when I discovered my affinity for summoning."
Brayden's cockiness faded and was replaced by resolve.
"I'll lob this out, and the eagle will burn all those fuckers away. How's that for a plan?"
It was reckless and flashy. I liked it.
Brayden and Layla were on a roll today.
I only had one important question.
"Can you control it?"
He frowned.
"Not for very long."
"No,
but we only need it for one attack."
It was the conventional way of using summoners in combat, but given the situation, it was the right call. Besides, the move would have been dangerous if we weren't coated in flame-proof metal. He gave me a thumbs up.
"Go for it."
"Right." He tossed it high above us, where it disappeared and materialized into a massive bird. But it wasn't a bird. It was living flame, shaped like a bird, bright and brilliant, almost as if it were made of the sun itself. Glowing white eyes shone out of its fiery face, and red flame shot out of the top of its head like a shimmering mane. Blue-hot flames tinged the tips of its wings as the eagle spread them wide. The attacks of the Chatteroshi stopped as they looked up at the new combatant.
"Get ready," Brayden called. "And don't look at it. The flash of its attack can blind you."
"Right." I called my bullet bass back to me and had it hide in my shirt. If the Ember Eagle killed it in its attack, then we'd be fried too. Bullet bass were fireproof, but Ember Eagles were on a whole other level, and I'd rather not risk it.
"Here it comes,"
Brayden yelled and ducked his head. As the eagle began to glow and the flames of its great wings began to expand, I huddled together with my friends behind my Wallardens. Brayden wrapped his beefy arms around us as if they would protect us from the blast more than our metal skin was already going to do. What came next was sensational. A resounding boom split my ears and cracked the air of the forest, leaving my ears ringing. A strong gust of wind and flames washed over us and knocked us aside. Even with my eyes closed, all I saw was whiteness through my eyelids. And despite our flame-resistant skin, I could still feel the heat crawl over me. But despite the itch it caused, it wasn't burning me. Finally, it was over. The heat receded. The blinding light of the flames was gone, and the jittery chatter of the monsters was gone. All that was left was the crackling of flames. The surrounding area was a scorched ruin, the trees blasted back and charred black, with veins of fire running all along them, but it looked like it hadn't spread beyond the blast zone. The grass beneath us was no more, crumbled into ash as I walked over it. The air was choked with smoke and soot. The damage didn't extend too far, as I could spot green not too far away. But this was still astounding, possibly even overkill. But we were alive, and the monsters were gone.
"Wow,"
was all I could say.
"Wow, indeed,"
Layla echoed. I clapped a metal hand on Brayden's shoulder.
"Excellent job, my friend."
"Thank you,"
he said bashfully as he scratched his head.
"For a moment there, I didn't think I could do it."
"But you did, and I'm proud of you," I said.
"Aww."
Layla laughed as she came up behind us and rested her hands on our shoulders.
"I'm proud we're alive, too."
My Wallardens were gone, No surprise. I pulled out another crystal and threw it out, my mana coursing through it as an imp appeared. Only one of my many imps was a water imp, so I sent it out to patrol the blast zone and put out all the fires,